The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis-St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. New poll finds most Americans share many core values, and that comes despite the nation's deep political divide.
Most political polls reveal extreme partisanship, but a new APNORC survey found that about 9 in 10 U.S. adults say the right to vote, the right to equal protection under the law, and the right to privacy are important or very important to the U.S.'s identity as a nation. And while there was agreement on what it means to be an American, there was another more pessimistic result. The same poll found that only 3 in 10 Americans believe the country's democracy is functioning well. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Israeli military pulling back some forces from a Hamas stronghold in southern Gaza following a major phase of its offensive. That brings troop presence in the territory to one of the lowest levels since the war began. This is SRN News.
Brandon Tatum doesn't see hope in the next generation.
Maybe other generations were doing this. I find it more apparent in young people. They're unequipped for success in America. They do not know how to multitask. They do not know how to think on the go. They're unequipped. And I think it's the lack of fathers, the lack of leadership and mentorship.
The Officer Tatum Show, afternoons at 5 on AM 1280, The Patriot, Intelligent Radio.
Being kind can earn you money. That's right. Enter to win our Kindness Challenge sweepstakes at am1280thepatriot.com and have the opportunity to win $2,500 for yourself and another $2,500 in your name to a deserving organization. Increase your chances to win. You can enter once each day now through April 15th. That's our Kindness Challenge sweepstakes at am1280thepatriot.com. From the JTR Roofing Weather Center, tonight's low drops down to 41 degrees, breezy wind conditions. Tomorrow for your Monday, showers likely, cloudy, high around 50.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan, here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with hour number 2 of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take a phone call, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Just use hashtag NARNshow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show for comments or questions. And if you'd like to follow us along on Facebook, feel free to do so. Just go to Facebook.com and do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And give our page a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And again, the live stream is up and running there as well. So again, you have a comment thread there. We can leave a comment or question. As always, thank you for tuning in. I was talking a little bit about the presidential race last hour within the context of how Team Biden is a little panicked that they don't have their far-left progressive base locked in and committed to coming out to vote. Now, again, they're not going to vote for anybody but Joe Biden, and I don't know, would they vote for RFK Jr.? I'm skeptical. I don't know. Certainly not going to vote for Trump, so if they just stay home, leave it blank, protest vote, not voting for him, whatever, I'm inclined to think they are going to come around. They'll come back home, but obviously Team Biden's not taking any chances and hence throwing Israel under the bus. Well, I can't help but think that Democrats, whether it be elected officials or Democrat voters committed to reelecting President Biden or whatever, I can't help but think that they're having a little sense of deja vu here. This is from an NBCNews.com story from this past Thursday. Democrat senators are not joining calls on the left for liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor to retire. But for the first time, they're publicly expressing an unease that history could repeat itself after Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's refusal to step down in 2014 ended in Supreme Court lurching sharply to the right. Ginsburg, then 81 and a cancer survivor, could have retired and been replaced by a Democrat appointee when President Barack Obama was in office and his party controlled 55 Senate seats. She rejected the calls and died in September 2020, allowing then-President Donald Trump to replace her. It was a history-making moment. Ginsburg's successor, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, gave rise to a 63 conservative majority. Barrett went on to cast a deciding vote to overturn the landmark Roe v. Wade abortion rights ruling less than 2 years later. With that humbling history in mind, some liberal commentators say Sotomayor, who is 69, a lifelong diabetic, and the oldest member of the court's liberal wing, should retire while Joe Biden is president and Democrats control the Senate, echoing similar calls directed at Ginsburg a decade ago that went unheeded. Democrat senators who serve on the Judiciary Committee remain haunted by the Ginsburg precedent. None are publicly calling on Sotomayor to step down, but they say they hope it doesn't happen again and create a 7-2 conservative majority. Oh, the memories. I remember that. Because it was very clear leading up to the midterm elections in 2014, which, of course, was in the middle of Barack Obama's second term, that Republicans were going to take control of the Senate. Now, they got control of the House back in 2010 and maintained control even through Barack Obama's reelection year in 2012. But in 2014, Republicans, they were still in the minority in the Senate, but then that election came forth and they flipped 9 Senate seats. So they went. It went from a 55-45 Democrat majority to a 54-46 Republican majority, with the Republicans flipping 9 seats. And as a result, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg, passed away or decided to step down during the final 2 years of Barack Obama's term, well, it was going to be, any nominee Barack Obama put forth would have had to pass through a Republican-controlled Senate. And given Obama's first two appointees, Justices Sotomayor and Kagan, they had a Democrat Senate majority, they pretty much sailed through. But this was, and of course, as Justice Ginsburg hung on, she was then hanging on for symbolic reasons, because it's like, well, Hillary Clinton certainly is going to beat Donald Trump in 2016. And given how Trump is so reviled, certainly that will motivate down ticket races. So therefore, the Democrats will probably take over the Senate as well. So as a result, you're going to have history in the making. You're going to have the first ever female president of the United States in Hillary Clinton. And she is going to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is going to retire. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of course, this transformative justice on the Supreme Court, who overcame a lot, who broke through a huge glass ceiling. Never mind, it was Sandra Day O'Connor, the first ever female Supreme Court justice appointed by Ronald Reagan. But apparently they don't want to bring that up. And what a historic event. What a time to be alive. That's going to be just an incredible time in history. Well, of course, we all know what happened. The Republicans hung on to the Senate in 2016, and then Donald Trump, shockingly, was elected president. And so, therefore, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was going to hang on, because, lest we forget, Justice Antonin Scalia in early 2016 passed away, and Mitch McConnell, who was a Senate majority leader, said, no, we're not going to hold any hearings for a replacement. This is an election year, presidential election year. There is going to be a new president.
And so we are going to leave to the American people to decide, okay, whether or not, you know, this issue is that important to them. So we're going to let them decide by who they choose as president, by extension, what kind of Supreme Court justice they want nominated. And, of course, we all know how that turned out. And kudos to Senator McConnell, you know, because in 2020, another presidential election year, well, by McConnell's own philosophy, this is a presidential election year. Certainly he's not going to put forth a nominee, right, to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Well, here's the thing. He parsed his words very carefully in 2016 by saying there will be a new president, so we're going to let the American people decide. But in 2020, the current president was running for re-election, so there was no guarantee that there was going to be, you know, a new president. Now, again, you can agree or disagree with McConnell's philosophy or whatnot, but that's how he kind of parsed his words. And I'll tell you what, I don't know of any Republican senator that would have been willing to take the rhetorical shrapnel that Mitch McConnell took when he put forth someone to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg less than a month, or I think this was less than 2 months before Election Day. And, of course, they rushed the nomination process through. And Amy Coney Barrett, who was on the other end of the spectrum from Ruth Bader Ginsburg's judicial philosophy, was the one put forth. So I give you all that background to say that Democrats very clearly are having a sense of deja vu here, because they're seeing right now there is a non-zero chance that Donald Trump is elected in November. And as of right now, in the Senate, there are 51 Democrats, 49 Republicans. Well, West Virginia is most assuredly going to flip to the Republicans, because Joe Manchin, Democrat, one of the last moderate Democrats in the Senate, he's retiring. Certainly whoever the Republican nominee, and it currently looks like it's going to be Governor Jim Justice, will be will probably win the election. And all of a sudden, you're going to have 50 Republicans and 50 Democrats. And if there are no other Republicans flip, that's going to be good enough, because all of a sudden you're going to have 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans. So the vice president, and say if it's Trump elected president, whoever Trump's vice president will break any tie. Now, the caveat here is, what do moderate Republicans like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, what are they thinking? Would they be willing to go along with this? Not 100% guarantee. So it would behoove Republicans to certainly flip other seats. Now, there's an opportunity in Montana. John Tester, Montana, very vulnerable. Okay. And this is a guy who's been reelected. He was first elected in 06 and has been reelected twice. Okay. But he's certainly vulnerable. Jackie Rosen, Democrat senator out of Nevada. Nevada's looking to be a very competitive battleground state for the presidency, and that could certainly affect the down ticket races. So if Republicans can flip that one. And, oh, yeah, Arizona, because Kyrsten Sinema is not running for reelection. In Arizona, even though they've elected two Democrats, you know, Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema, even though Kyrsten Sinema now is an independent, but she caucuses with the Democrats, Ruben Gallego is far, far, far left. He's in the motif of the squad, okay? So Arizona could possibly flip to Republicans. So you're looking at potentially four seats flipping to Republicans, and all of a sudden they've got a 53-47 majority. So then they've got a margin for error if, say, Senators Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins would not be down with a Trump nominee. So I say all that to say this is why Democrats are now privately saying, yeah, you know what, Sotomayor should retire, even though she's only 69, but again, she's got health issues. And this report I read from this NBC News report from last week, that's been updated. Now, all of a sudden, you've got Richard Blumenthal, Democrat out of Connecticut, basically coming out saying that, yeah, she should step down. This is from Reason.com. I'm very respectful of Justice Sotomayor. I have great admiration for her, but I think she really has to weigh the competing factors. We should learn a lesson, and it's not like there is any mystery here about what the lesson should be. The old saying, graveyards are full of indispensable people, ourselves in this body included. Blumenthal emphasized that Sotomayor is a highly accomplished and obviously fully functioning justice right now. He added that justices have to make their personal decisions about their health and their level of energy, but also to keep in mind the larger national and public interest in making sure that the court looks and thinks like America. Could you imagine if a Republican said something like that, trying to push out a liberal justice? That would lead every single network news story for days. And it would light up the internet like a pinball machine. You know? Absolutely crazy. It's amazing to me. The Democrats are working overtime to try to get rid of the black guy, Clarence Thomas. And whenever they attack the integrity of the Supreme Court, they always immediately go to Clarence Thomas. Why are progressives always going after the black guy? I'm trying to understand this. Well, now they've shifted their focus away from Clarence Thomas and now are focusing on the first ever female Hispanic woman, a female Hispanic, to serve on the Supreme Court. Huh. Wonder why that is. So, it's going to be interesting to watch. I don't know if Sotomayor has given a public statement regarding the desires that she stepped down, but I have a feeling that she's not going to. It'll be interesting to see as, you know, we get closer to Election Day and what the polls say, you know, because, again, if a Supreme Court justice steps away or passes away, it's typically a solid 2 to 3 month process by the time a president nominate someone till when they're confirmed. So this is going to be interesting to watch come this summer as we get close to Election Day and what the polls say. And will Justice Sotomayor indeed take in those ancillary issues? So something to keep an eye on, that is for sure. 651-289-4488, that is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NarnShow, that's hashtag N-A-R-N Show, or weigh in on our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page where we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running. Brad Carlson, the closer, back with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older. But it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF, relieffactor.com.
Eric Metaxas here. More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now or visit dependonam.com for more information.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
Brighten someone's day with a free e-card from the largest online Christian greeting card site, crosscards.com. There's one for every occasion, birthdays, holidays, or just to let someone know you care. Crosscards.com is a division of Salem Media Group.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome back. 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. And don't forget our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page, where you can give us a like or a follow if you haven't done so already, and follow along on the live stream. The live stream is up and running. And if you're watching the live stream, you can see our good friend D. Greg Scott is in studio. D. Greg Scott is our official IT guru, wonk, whatever we like to call him. Yeah. Check out his website, dgregscott.com, your one-stop shop for all things cybersecurity information, tips, insights, as well as links to his many books that he has authored, including his latest book, which we will definitely get to later in the broadcast, Greg Scott.
Thank you, Greg.
Always good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good to see you. Doing great. We're on video. Hey, hi, Mom.
Yeah. It is up and running. Apparently, there was technical difficulties yesterday. We couldn't run the live stream, but we got it going now.
Oh, wow. So. Yeah, nobody called me. We could have. Well, glad you got it fixed.
Yeah, exactly. We should have thought to do that. You're right down the road, basically.
Yeah, almost walking distance.
That does work out nice. Well, we got a couple of stories that, Greg, you alerted me to that we definitely want to get to. And, you know, on this show, we've talked to economists and whatever about companies and their fiduciary duty that they have to their shareholders in order to maximize profitability. Because, you know, as we get to be adults, we, you know, have to think long-term about our, you know, our fiscal health, and be sure we're investing and follow our financial advisors.
Making money sound is advice. Important.
Indeed. And how that links to cybersecurity, well, this should be no surprise, but companies that put a priority on cybersecurity typically are much more profitable, not just more profitable, but much more profitable. Yeah. Than companies that don't. That seems obvious, Greg Scott, but why don't you kind of flesh that out a little bit?
It seems obvious. It feels obvious, and I've got theories as to why, but that was a cool report. And some other tidbits on that report. This is big companies now with boards, public companies with boards of directors and stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently only 5% of boards of directors have cybersecurity people on the board.
Wow.
Is it any wonder that we have that deer in the headlight look every time we talk about stuff like protocol. Every time we use technology words, they all glaze over.
Yeah, right.
Any wonder?
Right.
So, you know, here's a plug. You know, put people who know what they're talking about on your boards if you're part of a big company. But the other thing is, and this is here we shift from fact to opinion, and it's a attitude. And so these companies that don't take cybersecurity seriously, that don't want to invest in cybersecurity because, you know, it's the internet. It's all esoteric. It's all abstract. It's not anything we care about. We make hammers. We don't make bits. You know, we've heard all those excuses. It turns out they're probably sloppy in other areas. And so if you're sloppy with your security, you're going to be sloppy with other things that are directly related to your production processes and quality and stuff like that. I've got some anecdotal stories around that. There was one time.
Please share, yes. Oh, yeah.
Some of them are embarrassing. One time, this is when I was in my independent consulting days. And back in those days, I'm the only one I know who built firewalls and made a living building building internet firewalls for a living. I don't know what anybody else that's done that.
Yeah, Greg, you're nuts. No, I'm not. It's not nuts. It's unique.
It is.
Yeah. So a firewall is this thing that sits between you and the internet, and it regulates the traffic in and out. And good firewalls do other stuff, too. They have a bunch of diagnostics and other things like that at your boundary.
Right.
So my job as a contractor was to pitch people on why these firewalls are important and why my firewalls are better than the other guy's firewalls and build the case. So I went from customer to customer to customer and did pre-sales visits and all kinds of sales stuff. And, you know, I'm not a real good sales rep, which is why InfraSupport never really took off and got big. So I was at one bank. I was at a bank. Banks are supposed to. Banks are people who care about fiduciary duty.
You would hope
Yeah. They say words like fiduciary. It's just part of their. It's part of their vocabulary. And I was pitching my security ideas, and the bank vice president. Everybody at a bank, they're all vice presidents because apparently they don't get paid very much. They're vice presidents. So he sat back and folded his arms and looked out, looked over his glasses at me, and. Well, Greg, we've already done all these things you're talking about. We've already done that. We had a company come in here and did and audit us everything. And then he said the wrong word. He said, "Would you like to see the report?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to see that. Come, yeah, show it to me." So he gets out of his chair and he gets a manila folder and he hands it to me. And I put it in my lap and I just start sitting opposite sides of the desk. And I start paging through. And I looked it over. And I looked up, I said, you know what? These guys did. They did a great job on your website. There's everything you'd expect to see from auditing your website. They did it here. And I asked my key question, so where's the report about your own internal bank network?
Okay, what do you have to say to that?
Long pause.
Long pause.
Thanks for coming in, Greg. Let me show you to the door right here. And he walked me out the door, and I never talked to him again after that.
Okay.
That's the attitude a lot of people have about cybersecurity. It's all technology, and so we're going to just pretend like it's too complicated for us to figure out because our brains go to sleep because it's technology. So we can't figure out that we can't tell the difference between the gas pedal and the steering wheel because it's technology. Cars have been around for a long time. Technology is still new. It's only like 30 years old. It's still new, so we're going to pretend that we're stupid.
Yeah.
And you see that attitude. When you see that attitude, your business is sloppy. You're not going to make money. You're going to miss opportunities that come your way, and you're going to miss threats that come your way.
Do you ever? I mean, and you talk to some of these smaller companies, and you know, I know we kind of chat in this past week. You alluded to the big Sony hack from about a decade ago.
Yeah,
The North Koreans were upset that they made a film depicting Kim Jong Un in a bad light. I forget the name of that movie. I finally saw it recently.
They were gonna assassinate Kim Jong Un.
Yeah,
and the North Koreans didn't like it, so they
we were on a bunch of us. My wife and I were with a bunch of friends on a Mexican vacation. We finally watched that movie one night on our Mexico vacation. It was very silly, as you might expect. My point is that they did not appreciate how Dear Leader was being depicted, and so therefore Sony was subject to a pretty nasty hack.
Really nasty. The North Koreans got inside Sony Pictures, and they invaded that network all over everywhere, and they sucked down as much information as they could suck down. And after they'd rated it for everything that they thought would be useful, then they introduced some code that wiped all the computers and all the servers everywhere. Boom! They shut Sony Pictures down. So I think it was Bloomberg that did this insider story where they interviewed a bunch of people. The Bloomberg reporter, I think it was Bloomberg. Correct me if I'm wrong out there if you remember this. Hopefully I'm not giving the wrong credit to the wrong news place.
Okay.
But reporter went to Sony Pictures to visit, and the physical security people there were kind of lackadaisical and asleep at the switch, and he could wander around anywhere he wanted to wander around, and nobody really cared. The whole place was just kind of blah. The morale was terrible, and it wasn't because of the attack. It was because that's just the way they were. They weren't making very much money, and there was rumors and speculation about buyouts and layoffs and this and that and the other. So nobody really cared about the operation of this company, and the North Koreans nailed them good.
Yeah. Well, and I think that would... You know, that would kind of wake some companies up. It's just like, you know, I guess people might mistake, say, okay, these big gargantuan companies, certainly they're more protective of their cybersecurity than smaller ones, which isn't necessarily the case. But the point is, if a big kahuna like Sony could get hacked like that, it's like,
okay,
how can you maintain arrogance like that?
Yeah, stop right there.
Yeah.
Big doesn't
I know where you're going with
this. Good.
I'm just saying that would be kind of the prevailing sentiment
where you see,
well, a big company like that gets hacked. What's to say that we can't get hacked? Which would be good because if that motivates you to get your house taken care of, great. But bigger doesn't necessarily mean better.
You're right. Okay. Oh, yeah. You made me think of another story.
You got about a minute, so if you can make it compact. So.
Way back, 2015, when I first published Bullseye Breach, I was at the Barnes & Noble bookstore in downtown Minneapolis. And because the person I'd hired to do publicity said, Greg, you got to find comparable titles. I didn't know what that meant at the time. So she educated me, and I'm there looking. And I get into this conversation with the guy behind the counter at Barnes & Noble. And the lady in pink off here on the side overheard me, and she struck up a conversation. We got to go, don't we? Should I finish this up afterwards, or we got
time? We got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. She said, so, Greg, what you're saying is we don't have a chance. We're just sitting ducks, and they can attack us at will. And you imagine what I did. I went ballistic. No, that's not true. And I said all my whole spiel. Everybody at the store stopped and kind of stared at me, and I didn't care. I just kept on going. She bought two books from me cash that day. She put $40 in my hand for a book. She paid for two books. I only had one with me. So she
your
was
own
happy.
Publicist, Greg Scott. I love it. That is fantastic.
That was the best book sale day I ever had, ever. I wish I had more like that.
Joined by D. Greg Scott again. Check out his website, D as in Daniel, dgregscott.com, for your one-stop shop for all things on cybersecurity tips, insights, as well as links to his books, which we will inevitably get to. 651-289-4488. That is the number to call. Back in mere moments on the Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Go nowhere.
Let's move safely together, Minnesota. If you're behind the wheel, slow down and watch for people walking, day or night, and stop for people crossing the road. When you're out walking, be alert and look for vehicles in all directions before crossing the road. If you can, cross in a well-lit area. When we work together, everyone gets home safely. This message brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Retirement doesn't have to be complicated. Are you sick of all the fancy charts and investment mumbo-jumbo thrown at you to justify the Wall Street fees you're being charged? It's not the size of your nest egg that matters, but rather the income it can produce. Hi, I'm Mitch Lyons, best-selling author and star in a brand-new Hollywood documentary called The Retirement Deception. In this film, we traveled over 20,000 miles interviewing real Americans who have retired successfully with a great lifestyle and peace of mind. They share their stories on how they get more retirement income with the same dollar saved, and the money is never at risk if the market crashes. That's right. If the market crashes 30%, you lose nothing. Even the super wealthy are shifting money into this new strategy because it increases their retirement income or can allow them to stop working years sooner. So if you are over 50 and want a bigger, better, stress-free retirement, call today to speak to a specialist and get a free copy of this brand new movie, The Retirement Deception. Call 888-365-1409. This is a $30 value, but when you call today, you get it completely free. So don't delay. Call right now, 888-365-1409. That's 888-365-1409.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby?
She is? Will it be a boy?
Or will it be a girl?
We don't know yet, but we heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
You mean like being a president?
Or maybe a doctor?
Well, probably maybe like a singer or dancer, I think.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that every baby is a miracle and has the potential to do great things. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational. Pro-Life Across
America, the billboard people. America is giving away its inventions and technology to China.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
The shocking new movie, Innovation Race, exposes the potential Chinese takeover of 5G and the internet, threatening America's economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself.
Watch the movie, Innovation Race, now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Click on this.
Hey, one. Welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Me, Brad Carlson. Thanks always for tuning in. Here to take your phone call, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. And don't forget our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page, where we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. As of Wild Wilson and his life partner, Joan Bradley, have both checked in from Texas, as has Brent. Wild gives you a shout-out, Greg.
Hi, Wild. Good to keep chatting. Wild. What you want to do, you want to get a copy of all my books for everybody in your family.
I love it. Yeah. DGregScott.com is a website, by the way.
Yeah, they're all on Amazon. Just grab them from Amazon, ship a million of them right to your place and just give them to everybody.
Well, apparently, Greg, you know, we were talking this past week. We talked about a few things this past week. Apparently, in 2016, Facebook launched a secret project designed to intercept and decrypt the network traffic between people using Snapchat's app and its servers. Now, I'm not my relationship. Is Snapchat owned by Meta, Facebook?
No. This story is wild.
Okay.
Hi, wild, but this is a
no
different
pun intended
kind of
wild.
Wild.
Yes.
Okay, so this goes back to 2013.
Okay.
2013, Facebook bought a VPN company named Onavo, O-N-A-V-O, Onavo. VPN, Virtual Private Network. Some people know what VPNs are. If I'm out here on the Internet, I want to connect to someplace over the Internet, but I want it private, I set up this virtual private network so the stuff between where I am and where you are is all encrypted. That's the idea of a VPN. A website plug. Go to my website and go to resources, and I've got some stuff about how to build a VPN setup in four easy steps without spending one penny. The stuff is all open source. You won't spend one penny, but you'll spend some sweat equity. So that's how to build a VPN. So Facebook buys this company in 2013. The cool thing about this company is it can do VPNs it captures your stuff before the encryption. Now, Facebook apparently paid teenagers to install this VPN software, so their phones would VPN into Facebook, and then Facebook would capture from these teenagers all the stuff on their phones.
Oh,
so these volunteers
goodness.
Facebook would know how these volunteers interacted with the Internet. Facebook would use that data to make their platform more conducive to them being engaged on Facebook. So that they paid these teenagers for the feedback. So it was like $35 a month for us to spy on your phone. Yeah, you want teenagers to do that because grown-ups are supposed to be smarter than that.
Right.
Okay, so now Facebook has this VPN company. 2016, Zuckerberg says, you know what? We've got these competitors out there. Snapchat's a competitor to Facebook.
Right.
And people are doing stuff on Snapchat. Well, we don't want them on Snapchat. We want them on Facebook. And so what are they doing on Snapchat that's really good? How can we figure this out? Well, let's launch a man-in-the-middle attack, and let's just capture their traffic and see what's going on. Man-in-the-middle attack is just what you think it is. Alice and Bob are on both sides of the conversation, and Melvin, the man in the middle, intercepts both sides and sometimes interjects stuff back and forth to impersonate each side to the other.
Right.
That doesn't work real well when everything is encrypted. How do we get to the traffic that's not – how do we get to it better? Enter Onavo, the company that they bought.
Okay.
What Facebook can do is you install the Facebook app on your phone. Facebook includes these Onavo traces. They can get in. They can scrape what's going on from Snapchat's screen, and they can scrape that information, send it to Facebook, and from there they can analyze what Snapchat users are doing. They capture it before Snapchat encrypts it. That was the insidious part about this whole thing. So they did it with Snapchat, and then apparently they also did it with YouTube and with Amazon.
Okay.
Because Amazon's a competitor too. We can buy stuff on Facebook, you know, Facebook Marketplace.
Right.
So Facebook wants to find out what the competition's doing. It's, you know, it's high tech, it's 21st century, but it's good old fashioned competition too, and the competitors cheating to get an edge on each other. It's the same stuff we've done for 200 years. It's just got a super high-tech twist to it.
Yeah, basically, folks, and Greg, I'm sure you would concur that if you have a smartphone, any of these social media apps on here, and you're logging into them and using them for whatever purposes, there is really no pretense of privacy. There shouldn't be.
No, there's not.
I mean,
there's
come
not.
On. I mean, and I bring that up because
we
see people put statements on Facebook, these disclaimers, you're not allowed to use my photos or anything like that. It's like, folks, worthless. It's worthless.
Yeah. I post these pictures, but I won't let you copy them. Therefore, it's illegal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. You know, I'm going to post a post that says, you owe me $1 million. You think anybody would listen?
Yeah, right. So the point is that there, and I mean, you know, Edward Snowden basically cued us in on this. There really is no pretense of privacy using anything on your smartphone.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on Snowden. But Facebook crossed a line. Facebook got inside. We all know Facebook spies on it. You put Facebook on your phone, everything they do. You put Google Maps on your phone, and now Google knows everywhere that you travel. We all know that. But Facebook crossed the line. We trust Facebook that we're going to do our social media. Hi, Mom, I'm making pie. We're doing that kind of stuff through Facebook. Facebook went outside of their app and invaded somebody else's app and stole data from that app. So there's another thing back around 2005. Sony Music, not Sony Pictures that we talked about
right,
before.
Right.
Sony Music. When you bought a Sony Music CD and you put the CD in your computer, way before the era of smartphones, 2005 is like 20 years ago now. So you put the CD in your computer, and Sony Music put a rootkit, put a program on that CD that would automatically install on the computers, called a rootkit, and that program would analyze all the songs that you listen to and send that data back to Sony Music, which would then do whatever it is they did with that data.
Okay, yeah.
They got caught with their hands in the cookie jar. There was a class action lawsuit, hundreds of millions of dollars. It got settled a few years later. And the same with Facebook. All this Facebook spying, there was a class action lawsuit. Facebook settled it. They paid $725 million, I think it was.
Took it out of petty cash.
Yeah, petty cash. Yeah, if you're part of the class, you could fill out a form and maybe you'd get $5 out
of it.
Yeah,
right, right.
Yeah. So that was settled. And we know about this VPN scrape, the Snapchat scrape. We know about that because the court released some of the documents just a few weeks ago. That's why we know about that detail. But the lawsuit's already been come and gone and settled.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think is this like Facebook, you know, Meta that owns Facebook, they also do Instagram as well.
Yeah,
people, and again, I'm not up on the intricacies of these social media apps, but some people have suggested that, Instagram stories are similar to Snapchat, where you could post something and then, of course, it disappears within 24 hours like Snapchat. I don't know if Instagram stole that concept.
Who knows? They all copy each other.
Yeah.
And everybody copies TikTok with short videos.
True.
TikTok was the pioneer of that. Do a 30-second video of your cat or a 30-second video of you turning the book page. So now Facebook has Reels.
Yeah, Reels.
And they all copy each other, and I lose track of what
Instagram, they have
anything.
The Reels, and you can cross-post them to Facebook. And
yeah,
I think you can
yeah.
also, and vice versa, I think you can also cross-post from Facebook
yeah,
to
Yeah, same owner, so of course they're going to do stuff like that.
Yeah. And I use Instagram quite a bit, I occasionally cross-post some of that stuff to Facebook, but Facebook has become less and less, I mean, this is me personally, less and less of a thing for me. I prefer Instagram, and because I do the show, I do Twitter because they curate a lot of news there. So
But
that's a digression. So Facebook, I have to imagine going into this, they probably think, you know, if we get caught, it's probably going to be some sort of suit and we can just settle it. And I'm sure they probably took that risk and figure, yeah, we're okay with the risks involved with this because the worst that could happen, we have to pay out. You know, $750 million, we'll take it out of petty cash.
Yeah, somebody somewhere made that count. Well, yeah, maybe. A lot of times these guys have to learn, though. Zuckerberg, from everything I've read about him, is a real arrogant, like beyond arrogant. Like if you're a Star Trek fan, Romulans are beyond arrogant.
Did you ever see the movie The Social Network?
I did. Yeah, I did. It showed him.
That's how they depicted him.
Whether that's
fair or not, I don't know. But
yep. Yep, it wouldn't surprise me. The way the social media depicted him would not surprise me. So he's not even gonna think about ethics or any of that other stuff. He wants to find out about his competitors. Here's a technology solution. Let's go do it. And all the ramifications around that comes with maturity and comes later.
He was doing an interview on 60 Minutes. I don't know if it was about this specific thing, but it had to do with the information that they kind of harvest from users of their social media site. And, he had the flop sweat going on and everything. Yeah, I'm surprised he subjected himself to that.
Oh, yeah. They're typically not people that enjoy getting in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
Unless it's a puff piece, you know. Most technology people are introverts.
Yeah,
and
right.
this kind of stuff is just super stressful. A buddy of mine told me that when he does high pressure presentations in front of customers, he doesn't remember what he did. He blacks out, and then when the presentation's done, he doesn't remember what happened. That surprised me. So for okay, this is gonna for all you right wingers out there, all you way out in the right wingers, you're the people who complain. Big tech censors conservative content. Big tech censors conservative content. We've heard that complaint a lot, like from Josh Hawley and what's his name from Texas?
Ted Cruz.
Yeah. He's a biggie on that. they use Twitter, well, X. They use X, and they use Facebook, and they use it. They use social media to complain about how social media censors their speech. That's one ironic thing. But you guys get it wrong. You guys, either you don't know what you're talking about, or you're just saying that to stir people up. And the more you stir people up, the more you get into social media.
Politicians saying things to try to stir people up? The hell you say, Greg Scott.
Yeah. The more people get stirred up and get into social media and talk about how stirred up they are, the more, especially, and how mad they are at the social media companies, the more that social media investors laugh all the way to the bank. Yeah. You guys, they are playing you like a fiddle.
Well, we do have a minute left to this segment. Is Bob still with us? Okay, Bob in Shoreview is on line one. We got about a minute left this segment, and then we got the final segment coming up. Bob, it was good to see you last night. Thanks for calling. You're on the air, sir.
Yeah, you need a bigger room next time. It was so loud in there.
It was, yes.
But I had a question about the latest Mission Impossible movie. There's an artificial intelligence that gets into every network in the world, even into the intelligence networks, and corrupts all the data so that you don't know what's true and what's false. And I wanted to ask you, how possible is something like that could happen?
Go to my website, go to dgregscott.com, and search for Hollywood Hackers. Two words, Hollywood Hackers. Seriously, I've got a blog post about just that exact very topic. The stuff I don't know about the Mission Impossible movie you talked about. I haven't seen that specific movie, but in general, the hacking stuff you hear on Hollywood is mostly, we'll use the polite word, hogwash. It's entertainment. I wouldn't get worked up over it. The Die Hard one where the ultimate super duper hacker lives in his parents' basement. That's just playing on stereotypes, and it's mostly.
But it's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
That's the idea behind it.
And some of the stereotypes are true. Like I can do Star Trek trivia with just about anybody. So that that part might be true. But I haven't lived in my parents' basement in 50 years.
Once again, we are joined by D. Greg Scott, our official IT wonk guru, whatever you want to call him. Check out his website, dgregscott.com. By the way, Bob, thanks again for the call.
Hollywood Hackers.
Yes, Hollywood Hackers on D. Greg Scott's website. Back with one final segment on the broadcast with the aforementioned D. Greg Scott and myself, Brad Carlson, on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere.
IBelieve.com helps women wrestle with the deeper issues of their faith. Drop by for blogs and daily devotionals for women, plus articles on relationships, health and beauty, parenting, and more. At iBelieve.com, a division of Salem Media Group. iBelieve.com.
Would you buy a brand new furnace and heat pump today if it were half price? We have one brand new Rheem furnace and heat pump from GTS HVAC Inc., and we're selling it for half price. You get a new furnace and heat pump installed valued at $16,000 for just $8,000. Hurry, there's only one available. Call the station for details at 651-405-8800 or find it online at am1280thepatriot.com/half-off or email office at salemtc.com. All available rebates and tax credits apply.
Have you been thinking about buying a hot tub? This deal is for you. Introducing the Dominion L740 Hot Tub, featuring ergonomic seating with a lounger, powerful jets, and customizable lighting. A luxurious experience tailored to your preferences. Transform your backyard into your personal oasis. This beautiful hot tub is now half price at $49.97.50 installed. Includes cover, stairs, and more. To claim the station's deal, go to mndeals.com. Don't wait. We only have one at this price. Visit mndeals.com now.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD.
and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
If you could build the world's greatest radio station, where would you start? We'd begin by creating a live station that's able to provide breaking news updates. Then we'd install some of today's top political voices behind the mic. Finally, we'd craft a convenient way to listen with a specialized mobile app. No, it's not a work in progress. It's on the air now. AM 1280 The Patriot. Intelligent radio. Online at am1280thepatriot.com. You can listen to AM 1280 The Patriot on all Amazon Echo devices. Simply ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis, and you'll hear your favorite hosts.
This is Dennis Prager, and thanks for listening to me on your Alexa device.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Me, Brad Carlson. One final segment on the broadcast. Always great having on our IT wonk, D. Greg Scott. Again, check out his website, D as in Daniel. That's dgregscott.com. And you'll it's your one-stop shop, again, for cybersecurity tips, insights, anecdotes, whatever else. And, Greg, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention you have a new book that has come out in addition to some of your fine work. Virus Bomb and Bullseye Breach, Trafficking You.
Brand new book, Trafficking You. Jesse Johnson is a bank fraud analyst at a large bank in downtown Minneapolis, and she encounters a young lady in the Minneapolis Skyway, and that chance encounter leads to a lot of stuff, that a lot of bad stuff that happens to Jesse. She goes to war with a human trafficking ring.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And you'll like that story. That leads into some stuff. Bob, how would you use technology to blow up the world? And so
do tell, yes.
Yeah. So one way you do it is with grooming, in social media and grooming. So you take vulnerable people, it's usually young people. You take vulnerable people, they reach out to somewhere in social media, or they share something personal and the whole world sees it. You glom onto that and you interact with them and you convince them to trust you. And for a while, over time, you rewire their brain into believing you're their salvation. And then after a while, they're your slaves. And then when they're done, they're not of any use to you anymore, you throw them away. That's you'll like Trafficking You for that. And then another way that you use technology to take over the world, to blow up the world, is with public indoctrination, typically over social media, sometimes over mass media. So here's what you do with that. If let's say you're the Russians, and let's say you're the Russians, or maybe you're the Iranians, and the Iranians were the U.S. were the great Satan. So you're the Iranians, and you want the great Satan to go to war with itself. Or maybe you're the Russians, and you want us to do that. Or maybe the Russians and the Iranians team up.
Mm-hmm.
You get in the social media sites that are filled with, say, conservatives. And you tell all these conservatives what a terrible, evil, horrible man Biden is. All those evil, liberal, deep state Democrats, they're just terrible. They're going to destroy the country. And they eat babies for lunch. That's the really, really bad part. They eat babies for lunch. But then you go to the liberal sites and say, you know those conservatives? Listen to all the terrible, evil, horrible stuff they're talking about you. They're accusing you of eating babies for lunch. What a bunch of terrible, ignorant, terrible people. You should probably go to war with those guys. And before you know it, the left side and the right side, they go to war with each other. And guess who's standing on the sidelines laughing at both sides? That's a great way to blow up the world. Now, you think that's really way out, a few standard deviations from the norm? Look at some of the stuff that happened during the 2016 election and the 2020 election.
Sure.
The Russians did it, and the Russians continue to do that to us, and we continue to fall for it. Our enemies are laughing at us because we're going to war with each other over stupid stuff, So think about that, people. So here's a more obvious way to use technology to blow up the world. You're not, Bob, you're not going to get, and you're not going to infect a rogue AI into every piece of technology on the planet. That's just ridiculous. James Patterson did a book like that called The President is Missing, and it was a ridiculous premise. And, you know, the only person that could recover, that could figure out this malware that killed everything in the world was a 22-year-old teenager that was messed up in the head.
Mm-hmm.
That's just dumb.
It's Hollywood. It's entertainment,
it's
like
Hollywood.
We talked about.
If you want to do it, if you want a scenario that's realistic, read Virus Bomb. And so what you do is you use the internet, and you use the internet to gather data. So you invade networks of things that you care about,
right?
And you gather a bunch of data that way, under the radar, so nobody knows you're there. And then when the time comes, then you launch the attack that destroys all their servers, so they can't communicate. So then maybe you blow up some shopping malls, maybe you blow up the hotels at the Mall of America, and but you use that as a diversion to go steal, say, a biological agent that could kill a million people. And then maybe you plant seeds that make it look like somebody you also hate is doing it. So then the great Satan and the other enemy that you hate go to war with each other, and you're left standing on the sidelines to win. Scenarios like that are way, 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 way more realistic, and that's the stuff we should be guarding against. Even, by the way, in the real world, CISA, CISA, the government cybersecurity, whatever CISA stands for, even CISA has said the digital Pearl Harbor scenario was super unlikely to ever happen, and I've been saying that for 10 years. You're looking in the wrong places for a digital Pearl Harbor. Look for people to use the internet to gather data and start there and steal secrets, and then use those secrets to launch physical attacks. That's a way, way, way more logical scenario, and we should be scared about that.
Once again, we've been joined by Greg Scott in studio. Again, check out his website, dgregscott.com. And, what do you know? Virus Bomb happens to be available. You just alluded to that book on some of these scenarios.
Well, of course it's there. You can buy all three of those books, Bullseye Breach, Virus Bomb, or Trafficking You, anywhere where you can buy books. You can buy any of those three. It's the easiest is from Amazon. Virus Bomb, if you go to my website, I've got a way you can get you a little bit of a discount on Virus Bomb direct from the fulfillment center. I've got 1,800 books sitting in a warehouse in Minneapolis for Bullseye Breach. If you want to buy 1,000 books from me, call me and we'll make a sweet deal.
Fantastic. Well, you heard it here first, folks, so we like to take credit for increasing Greg's book sales, man.
There you go, man.
Greg, always good to see you, sir. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Thanks for having me. I enjoy it.
And, folks, as always, thank you for tuning in. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Godspeed, my friends. Have yourselves a blessed week. Closing
time. What drives your retirement investment decisions? The news of the day? Your emotions? Tune in to this week's Money Matters with Al and Mike. They'll be discussing how to navigate the emotional roller coaster of today's news cycle. Al and Mike will share with you 7 principles of long-term investing, a set of guidelines to set yourself up for success in all your investing endeavors. Money Matters with Al and Mike, noon Saturday on AM 1280 The Patriot, or call them right now at 855-231-6010.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's Computer Service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own. Whether it's for your personal system or business, Arby's Computer Service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot, Arby's Computer Service.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Did you know that there's one place you can go to hear God's words of hope spoken into your life anytime, anywhere? OnePlace.com. Listen to your favorite Christian programs, read daily devotionals, and get answers to your tough questions, all at OnePlace.com or on the OnePlace app in the Apple and Android app stores. Visit OnePlace.com today.
AM 1280, the
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.